Good evening, my fellow Americans.
Take the red pill.
We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars.
The disastrous rise of misplaced power exists.
All we have built, all we have worked for, would be destroyed.
There is nothing the political establishment will not do.
And this nation will not be fully free until all its citizens are free.
Our arms must be mighty, ready for instant action.
These criminals cannot be rewarded.
So that no potential aggressor may be tempted to risk his own destruction.
There is a point beyond which they must not advance.
They're coming after you, and I'm just standing in their way. Here I am.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
The cost of freedom is always high.
Those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening.
Our movement is about replacing a failed and corrupt political establishment.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the Founding Fathers.
This is a crusade! This is a holy war against the deep state!
We never wanted to be right, but yet things are all adding up to the firestorm.
National Security Advisor Lieutenant General Michael Flynn pleading guilty today to lying to the FBI.
Flynn knew exactly how the system worked. He knew exactly what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding. They had to get rid of Flynn.
There was a moment where I just felt like I was drowning. And so I'm in there with these other political appointees. They're all supposed to go in there and tell what they believe to be the truth. What they did was they took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. I was like, I'm not changing it.
He was, by definition, the most dangerous possible person for Donald Trump to hire.
President Obama said, but I do have one specific recommendation. Stay away from Michael Flynn. He's bad news.
Over time, instead of being pounded down below the surface of the ocean, we started to fight. I'm now above the surface.
All right, welcome back to the Red Pill Project's Daily Dose, live with you Monday through Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is where we bring you that unfolding global conspiracy, and tonight we have our guest, General Michael Flynn, with us tonight. General Flynn, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Joshua. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's been one heck of a ride since the last time we talked. There's a lot of things happening in the world, a lot of what I would call the drip flood. There's a lot of things just flowing out, and I think that's a great thing. I think it's a great time to be alive because we're getting a lot of this unveiling of the mysteries that have happened over the last 10, 15, and 20 years. And I think that that is bringing a lot of truth to the world right now. You have a new movie coming out. I'm interested about this because there's a quote from you a while back that says, one of these days, this story will be told. Now, is this Flynn movie the first part of this story being told?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big part. There's also, you know, I'll also, well, first of all, if anybody has been really following me closely, and there are a few people out there that do, there's certainly opposition forces that follow me very closely because they continue to attack me just ruthlessly. But I have spoken to many of the things that I've experienced in my life and certainly in the persecution, but there are things that I have never spoken to. And in this movie and in the subsequent, the book that will come out after, I'm going to let this movie come out first because, you know, I'm kind of doing a little bit backwards. Normally somebody writes a book and then they do a movie on the book or, you know, and I'm going to do it. I'm doing it after the fact. The book actually won't come out for probably another couple of months. The movie, just like the title, you know, it's Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. And in the movie, there are elements of the kinds of things that I experienced both in my military, all the way rising up through the military, very, very, you know, illustrious career, a great career, got to the highest levels of our military, certainly the intelligence leadership in the country, leading one of the largest intelligence agencies in the world. And then, of course, get selected to be National Security Advisor, get involved in politics, get involved with Donald J. Trump, And then all hell broke loose, right? All hell broke loose. One of the things that I learned about myself, and so things come out in this movie that people have never heard. Okay, there are people that think that they know this story. There's pieces that are going to come out in this movie that people have never heard, but they'll also meet members of my family. We have lawyers, journalists, filmmakers. We have a whole group of people that are in this. Tucker Carlson is one of the big players in this movie. Devin Nunez is another that comes that plays a very prominent role. Members of my family, my wife and my oldest son play prominent roles. And we talk about how I was able to get through this. And to equate that to how America can get through what America's experiencing right now. That's really what this movie is about. That's the big message. And the timing right now, Joshua, is really critical because as everybody sees what's going on in the world, I think people are hungry for the truth. People are very hungry for knowing what is happening. And, you know, for a guy that served at the levels that I served at, you know, you don't just sprinkle fairy dust on somebody and, you know, and poof, you're a general or a national security advisor to a duly elected president of the United States. It takes a lot of hard work and it takes a lot of sacrifice and a lot of commitment. And, you know, did I ever think that I was going to be at the fulcrum of history being so attacked by our own government? No, I never did. That's not something that I imagined in my life. I didn't mind serving. I would have given my life for this country. I just, you know, wasn't put into a, I wasn't in a position where that, you know, obviously appeared to have happened because it didn't. Yeah. I was in some really dangerous places, but I'm blessed and I'm lucky to be here and I'm lucky to be able to tell my story at a time when I think America needs it. America needs this story right now. And for your audience and a lot of audiences out there, I mean, the perspective of how is it doing, the pre-order on DVDs alone still are number one on Amazon across the board, far outweighing movies like, you know, Aquaman and Barbie and you know, Willy Wonka 2. I mean, these foolish, you know, movies that have utter meaning, you know, they have no meaning to them at all. And therefore, you know, they're probably of some entertainment value, but they're for the brain dead because we are facing an existential threat to our country. And what I'm trying to portray in this movie is that threat and how we can rise above it, how we can fight back as a nation, because it's what I learned and my family was able to do that. And part of what is told in this story is, How do you come to grips with it? And then how do you come together and form, around an idea and a cause and then fight for that cause? Hmm. And that's one of the real telling moments in the movie is that aspect of it. And I think people will see that when they see the movie. And to get there, movie, go to Flynn Movie, flynnmovie.com. And you can pre-order the DVDs at Amazon, Target, or Walmart. You can also see, you click on the tour button, you can send your email in and we'll send you notifications about where we're going to be around the country. I'm going to do a 35 city tour in the next 2 months through the months of April and May, all across the country. We're going to start in the southeast corner of Florida. We're going to go all the way out to California, up to the northwest corner of Washington State and a couple of places in Washington State, and then make our way back through the Midwest, all the way back up into the New Englands and straight back down the Eastern Seaboard. And then we're going to finish back out in Texas of all places. So I'm going to kind of do a diagonal back into the middle of the country and then back down. You can see it. If you look at the tour, you can see the cities and the towns that we're going to go into. And not all of them are named big cities. I'm not, you know, some of these places are places that are small towns, small cities, because I want to go to the heartland of some of the great places that we have in this country. And we start that tour on the 5th of April. So awesome. FlynnMovie.com, people can find out. They can order tickets for those sites, or they can pre-order the DVD, and the live streaming will be up on that website here within the next couple of weeks. So you can do it. You can order live stream or rent or own. And on the DVDs, for those people that are listening, on the DVDs, there are a bunch of bonus material. Like there's extra material of Tucker Carlson, Devin Nunez, myself, Lee Smith. And one last little tidbit. This was the interview that we did with Tucker, which was about 3 hours long. It was the Sunday before he was fired from Fox News. So, boy, Tucker Carlson was never interviewed, never been interviewed. That was his first interview. And it's fascinating. And he comes out very, very powerful in the movie, but in the behind the scenes stuff and the B-roll bonus material on the DVDs, which will only be found on the DVDs. It's fascinating. Some of the stuff he talks about, really, really powerful.
Yeah. And for everybody out there, that is going to be in all of our live chats, as well as in the description boxes on all of our live streaming platforms. You can find that with those promo codes for Red Pill. You can go out there and pre-order that DVD or actually go to the live events. So I'm looking forward to that when I think you have one here in Florida, Venice, Florida coming up. I'm trying to get
out
there.
Five April right here in Venice.
Yep.
And then the next one's just up north. I think it's Lake Worth is the other place, but it's on all that's listed on the tour button on the FlynnMovie.com website.
Absolutely. Now, our last time that we talked, it's interesting because the movie's coming out now and you're bringing the family into it. And you're talking about how this family organization is what got you through it. The support from your wife, from your children, from your brothers and sisters, right? All of this is what helped you get through this. And last time we talked, that's what this was about. This is how we rebuild America. This is how we save this country, is we have to bring back that community organization back in to our homes. We have to bring in the moral and ethical base back into our homes. We have to go out there and start talking to our neighbors. We have to start getting the communication driving within our local communities. I always looked at it as that your local government is a reflection of all the communities that make up that village, that town, or that city. That state government is a conglomeration of all those large communities, all those townships coming together that have that foundation, that moral and ethical foundation in the household. And our federal government is nothing more than a reflection of the states themselves. And so if we strive to bring that moral and ethical base back into the household, to instill within our children the values that were instilled within us, then we have a chance to save this country, at least for the next generations. And I think that that's a very important part. And I think that that's what you're trying to say, that the Flynn movie is really showing, is that base, that family base that we need to get really back to in America.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, Josh, you said it, you know, beautifully. This, if our country can find some meaning to what they see in this film, to what they feel and understand about their own lives, whether it's the life in your own family, the life that you have in your small town community, or even in your where you live, like in your sort of, you know, your town block or your city block or the people that you know. I mean, one of the things that is the strength of America is our ability to overcome anything that's ever imposed on us. That's the beauty of America. But we've always done that in a way where we bond together through some event. And I think right now the overreach of our federal government is so powerful and is so evident in our lives. And like what they're doing to President Trump right now. I mean, they've turned Trump into a victim. And he didn't even commit. I can't even find a crime. What's the crime that he committed? Right. So there's no victims in any of these crimes that they're saying that he committed. So America finds it in themselves when others are treated harshly for the wrong reasons, then Americans tend to go around them. And right now, we are all being treated harshly. We're all being treated harshly by our federal government. And in some cases, even local governments, depending on where you live in the country, because some local governments are, you know, they're shutting down your voices at school boards. They're shutting down your voices in city council hearings. You know, they're actually shutting down your voices, even in your churches in some places. Yeah. So family, the family unit, the community that we are part of, all of this matters. And it's one of the big elements that does come out, one of the big components that does come out in this film about the strength of a family and how the strength of one family can be an example for what America now needs to do. And that's we need to stick together. We need to stand up. We need to speak out, and we have to fight back. We can't do this, you know, by sitting at home and wringing our hands and worrying and complaining. We got to get involved. And, you know, one of the things that I've been studying here lately are things like voter turnout in the country going back to 1996. I mean, voter turnout in our country is abysmal. It's really, really bad. I mean, it's like for presidential races, for the general election, it's like in the high 50s, low 60 percentiles. The primaries, all these primaries that we're sort of still wrapping up that are going on right now that everybody's been, you know, bombarded by for months now, you know, where Trump has won all these primaries, you know, the turnout is like 30 to 40%. It's terrible. Yep. Now, good that Trump is winning and he's winning in a big way, but the overall voter turnout is abysmal. It's a failing grade. And that means that the citizens of this country still haven't realized that if we don't get involved as citizens, we won't have a republic. We have democratic ideals that we live within, but we actually have a constitutional republic, which is a type of government where the citizens decide who will be their elected representatives, and yet even those representatives still speak for the citizens. They don't act like the uniparty is in Washington, D.C. And you're young enough to be my son. And you know, so I don't even blame your generation. I blame my generation. My generation has spent the last 30 to 40 years letting these political hacks in Washington, D.C. destroy our country. That's why I got involved in politics. OK, I didn't want to be a politician. I spent the better part of my adult life in the United States military, principally in the Army, deployed overseas in combat. You know, I mean, I did a lot. I say you don't get fairy dust sprinkled on you and you're suddenly a general. You work your ass off to get to that level. And when I got out, I saw what was happening. I saw the writing on the wall and I said, you know, I can't do this. I can't just go and take a couple of defense jobs or go play golf and go hang out and watch the country burn. I couldn't do it. So I got involved in politics and look what happened to me. And that's the message. That's the message that they want. The message that the deep state, quote unquote, deep state, that these communist thugs want to send to people like you and many other Americans out there. You do what this guy did. We're going to crush your soul. We're going to take everything from you. We're going to destroy your family. We are going to narratively assassinate you. Yep. And they did. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't take my soul. They didn't crush my spirit because they didn't understand who I was. And as we talked about just a minute ago about the strength of my family, they really, really did not understand who they were dealing with. And I was able to overcome that. Now, Donald Trump is in the same boat. They're doing the exact same thing. He just happens to, you know, he's on another platform because he was the president of the United States. And they tried to destroy him while he was the president to include members of his own cabinet and members of the federal government. People in the federal government committed treason to undermine Trump while he was the president of the United States. I mean, we can't have that.
I 100% agree. Question for you, kind of going back to some of the first things you said there. At what point in time in your military service or after did you realize that the system was rigged, that there was this shadow behind the scenes bureaucracy running the country? I mean, 2012, Barack Obama comes back in. He fires 198 general officers, primarily conservative, from our military. That's obviously got to send shockwaves throughout the general ranks, right? we have various different incidences that are happening during these times. McChrystal, General McChrystal, was just fired right before that because of Michael Hastings, Rolling Stones interview, all of this. Your brother, Charles Flynn, General Charles Flynn, was his chief of staff at that time. Colonel Charles Flynn was his chief of staff at that time for McChrystal. So there's a lot of things happening. I mean, there had to be discussions and saying, what's going on here? You had to know that Barack Obama in 2008 set up educational exchange programs with China, right? Educational exchange programs with China, where China was coming in, funding U.S. universities, taking professors over to China, the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Pretty sure you know this, that when Trump came in, he shut down those educational exchange programs. 32 professors were charged with tax evasion and such. Every single one of them, we can go to public records and see, had a National Science Foundation, a DARPA, DOD, Department of Energy grant, all for special access programs. To me, that's pay for play. That is our bureaucracy or people in our military or third-party contractors selling U.S. military secrets to a foreign entity. I mean, there had to be some type of discussion in that ranks during that time to say, hey, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah, I think the federal government is one gigantic cookie jar. And it never, it's like, it's a bottomless cookie jar. I mean, it is a bottomless cookie jar. It's not like it ever, you know, the hands just keep reaching in and pulling out bigger and bigger cookies, right? I mean, mm-hmm. to use a metaphor, if you will, to describe why we are the way we are. I mean, from my perspective, you know, the more I think about it, like, when did I first begin to realize how bad things were, how corrupt we were? It goes back to the Bush administration, while the invasion of Iraq, right, which was a totally unnecessary invasion. We did not need to invade Iraq. In fact, we invaded Iraq based on a lie. So it was a lie that Secretary Powell, former General Powell, you know, Secretary of State Powell, sat in front of the United Nations and told a massive, massive lie. Now, did he know it? If he didn't, then he's incompetent and he didn't deserve to be Secretary of State. But he had the director of the CIA right behind him, you know, I think it was Tenet, and telling the lie that, you know, weapons of mass destruction, we can't have weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. I mean, so Afghanistan, which was probably necessary to go after bin Laden, and then look at what happened. We spent 20 years, Iraq, 20 years, you know, and both of them are losing causes. I mean, Iraq's a mess. Iraq is pretty much owned by, you know, Iraq is almost like an Iranian surrogate now. So I would say that my, you know, and that, of course, some of that is hindsight. But at the time, we were questioning because we were there operating against these guys, against the enemy at the time. But then all of a sudden, when I got further and further on in my military career, you know, you're basically, especially as I got up into DIA, and it's in the newest trailer that we've put out a little bit about what the Obama administration wanted me to do. And I, you know, I wasn't going to do it. And that cost me my military career, and which I'm fine with. I can live with that. I can't live with, you know, I can't live with sitting there and going, oh yeah, no, I'll tell a lie to the American people and, yeah, you know, and do this and cause untold thousands of people to go to their deaths in some stupid endless war that is nothing more than a racket. So in the movie, I do talk about these things, some of these issues, though. FlynnMovie.com, fascinating, you know, sort of discussion in that movie at that time, that part of it. But I think what you're talking about really is this shift in our country that used war to cause the shift. Okay, so our education system has been broken since the Department of Education was created. And I think it was Jimmy Carter who created the Department of Education. You know, we always had an education, a federal element that kind of oversaw things, but we never had it the way we have it now. And we're one of the worst educated public from the public school side in the world. I mean, our public education system is abysmal. Christ, kids can't read and write in many places around this country. And yet we spend billions and billions of dollars on education, public education. You know, you mentioned all these grants that these various people got from places like DARPA. I mean, it's a mess. It is a complete mess because the cookie jar is like this. It's a giant cookie jar and people just keep reaching in. Look at the omnibus bill that they just passed here recently in Congress. Look at the amount of money that we're pouring into Ukraine. Look at the amount of money that we're pouring into the entirety of the Middle East. Every single country in the Middle East and every organization, the Houthi rebels, Hezbollah, Hamas, Iran, Saudis, you know, Jordanians, Israel, we are paying for it all. The United States taxpayers are putting money into every single one of those places that I just said, plus some. So you say to yourself, well, Jesus, I thought we were, you know, let's pick a side and let's fund them and let's help them win. That's not how it is anymore, folks. Okay, I'm sorry to tell you the dirty little secret. Dirty little secret is you and I have been paying hard-earned taxpayer dollars for a long, long time to everybody out there to maintain this racket we call war, okay? And they're going to tell us now, our government is going to tell us now that we're the ones that are, you know, that are a cult, that are conspiracy theorists, that are, we're Christian nationalists, or, I mean, whatever name that they want to use, they're going to try to box us in and tell us we're the crazy ones. We're the ones that are wrong. No, we're not. We're not wrong. We're the ones that all we want is we want the federal government out of our lives. We want to be able to have a constitutional republic. We want to have a free election system, a free and fair election system. We want to have a rule of law that holds to account everybody equally. You know, we want to have an ability to be innovative and smart and use the talents and skills that God gave me to be able to maybe make some money. That's the capitalistic side of our system of government. But right now, all of that is at risk because we have a takeover ongoing of the federal government by a globalist alliance. And that globalist alliance is very real. They are very, very real. And we should not kid ourselves. So anybody in your audience that's still out there, you know, in the ether zone, that's thinking, well, no, Trump will be back in charge and everything's going to be wonderful. No,
the savior's going to come on down and there's going to be, you know, sit back, get your popcorn and just wait for it all to happen. And it's not how it works.
No, the sacrifices of the United States, the sacrifices of Americans have always been something that we should be proud of. Yeah. Now, some of those sacrifices have been on foreign battlefields. Most of them have been on foreign battlefields with the exception of our own civil war. But we are now in a period where we have to sacrifice our time. We have to sacrifice our resources. We have to sacrifice, you know, the intellectual capacity that we do have called common sense. And we have to apply some common sense. And for the people out there that think that Donald Trump is doing all this for a game, I mean, this is not a game, folks. This is for real. This is our country. I have children. I have grandchildren. I don't like what I see that's happening to this country. I definitely don't like what I see coming out of our federal government. The Republican Party is actually a horrible group of people that are in the GOP in Washington, D.C. I mean, now, is it everybody? Is it universal? No, but is it damn near universal? Yeah, it is. There's only a handful of people that are really standing there saying, hey, this is crazy. This is, you know, this is bullshit. We shouldn't put up with this. And yet their voices are, you know, they're beat up, they're quashed, right? That the party itself will put a clamp on them and force them out. When in fact, what we need to have is we need to have some unity brought back and sanity brought back to the political life of this country. And I wish that I could say that we still have a Democrat party. I'm a former Democrat. I changed my party only a couple of years ago. Hell, when I was running around with Donald Trump, I was a Democrat. When he considered me to be his, potentially to be his vice president in June of 2016, I was a Democrat. I didn't care about politics. I didn't care about politics. I talk about some of this in the movie too, by the way. And because this is not about your political leanings right now, and if you're an American, if you believe in America as a constitutional republic, this is about whether or not we're going to survive as a nation and not fall to the wayside like many other empires in the history of the world, which the fact of life is, this is a fact, not a conspiracy theory. The fact is that empires over many, many centuries have risen and fallen, and yet they're not around anymore because of all of the same kinds of things that we're experiencing right now. Why the Roman Empire collapsed, why the Ottoman Empire collapsed, why the Mesopotamian Empire, why the Athenian Empire, why the Byzantine Empire, the Carthaginians, the British, all these different empires, they collapsed internally. Like Abraham Lincoln said when he was a young guy, 28 years old, in 1838, people can go look this up, in a speech he gave in Missouri, he said that no foreign power will take a drink from the Ohio or a step on the Blue Ridge, even if they had a Bonaparte for a commander. Our demise will come from our own suicide. Okay? That's what he said. Yeah. Now, and words damn close to that effect. And that's so true. Yeah. Basically, he was saying is that you know, externally, we don't have to worry about those people over there. We got to worry about the things right here at home. And if we don't take care of America first, Donald Trump did not come up with the bumper sticker America first. Donald Trump's bumper sticker is make America great again, which we must do. He is 100% right. The America first idea came out of World War I. Came out of World War I because we got to make America first. That was a big to-do in the political life of the country at that time. America first. We got to take care. And so from that moment on, from post World War I until kind of right now, we were, we became the leading superpower. We became the global superpower, right? And in the early 70s, we started trading off, you know, global trade was based on the U.S. dollar. U.S. dollar was the dollar of choice, the currency of choice for global trade. That's probably going to change this year. Not because you and I have had a decision in it. No, our government is getting ready to buy into this. In fact, they've already signed off on the digital currency craze. You know, that's going to hit here pretty soon. Organizations like at the end of May, the World Health Organization, run by a Marxist, chosen by the Chinese government. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and go look it up. Don't listen to Mike Flynn. You don't have to believe Mike Flynn. You know, the World Health Organization at the end of May is going to basically have, and we've signed off of this. So we need to tell our congressmen to go in and say we can't allow this to happen, to allow our sovereignty to be decided based on what the World Health Organization decides is an international health emergency. They can then declare sort of a rule over the world if they want, for all those countries that have signed up to that. We're one of them. So we got to make sure that our elected officials, we have to fight back on this kind of stuff. This is my world. My world is the world of national security and the safety and security of every American citizen. Should I keep that burden on my shoulders? I don't know. I mean, why do I feel that way? Joshua, I feel that way because I was blessed. I was blessed to have the life that I have. I was blessed to be able to serve in our military and get to where I got because I worked really hard to do it. And I always treated people like I wanted to be treated. You know, my father taught us that, the golden rule. But I saw in our leaders, quote unquote, our leaders, because leaders can be good and bad. So I saw in these terrible leaders that we have running our government, that they were running it into the ground for their own ill-gotten goods, right? And ill-gotten gains. And they don't care. They don't care about you or I. They don't care about allowing, we're talking over 10 million people in just the last 3 years alone that have been allowed to invade this country. I mean, we've all seen the videos, recent videos. We've seen the crime stats in cities. I mean, this is not because we have an incompetent White House. These people are not incompetent.
No, okay? They're allowing it to happen.
There. This is intentional. This is purposeful. It is a purposeful change of the culture, traditions, and morals of the United States of America to move us away from being based on the Constitution and move us more to what they call their version of democracy, right?
Right.
Which means oligarchical control over the top, a federal control, right? Security state, censorship state, military industrial state. Those are the true powers. And we've basically been complacent and lazy and allowed all this stuff. And again, I won't, because you're a young guy, I won't blame your generation, nor my grandkids' generation. But this is what you're going to live with. So if my generation, I'm trying to wake my generation up, because there's a lot of people that think, oh, no, we'll just another election and we'll have an election and everything will be fine. This too will pass. No, it won't. This is not that time. We're in a different place right now.
We absolutely are. And it's interesting to watch how it all unfolds on the world scope. Right now, kind of internationally, we have the BRICS nations, which are rising up and they're taking over economically. One of the things that I pointed out that nobody talks about is that China and Russia have made strategic investments in a lot of third world countries that were abused by various intelligence agencies, the United States, coerced to still stay third world countries, toppled their governments. Now they're going in there and building these countries back up and investing primarily in their agriculture and their resources. And what that's going to do in 5 to 10 years is going to replace the export business from the United States of America and from the UK and so forth and start taking that market cap away from the global economy. With that, we see China coming out there and backing Russia militarily if NATO did get involved. 2015, you went to the RT dinner. You sat next to Vladimir Putin. What did you think about? What were your thoughts of Vladimir Putin?
Well, I mean, at that moment, or what do I think of him? I mean, Vladimir Putin is a longtime leader of Russia. Having gone to that particular event, Jesse Ventura was at that event. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Okay. Well, I'm just telling. Jesse Ventura was a governor. I was just some retired general going to an event that I was doing as my speaker's bureau. So I was just, I'm going to be there. I didn't know that Putin was going to be there, but Jesse Ventura, former governor of the state of Michigan, was at that event. So you don't know that. You don't know. Nobody knows that. Mikhail Gorbachev was at that event. Jill Stein sat at that table. Now, she ran as the Communist Party of America, nominee.
Yeah.
Do you think they gave her shit? No. They go after Mike Flynn, for sitting at a table who I didn't know that Putin was going to be there or sit at that table. So the fact that you're asking me that question, it's like, what do you have on your mind? Like, what do you think?
I'm just curious. I mean, I'm fascinated by.
I mean, you think that I had something up my sleeve and, okay, me and Vlad are going to take over the world or what?
Oh, God, no. No. I was curious just your perspective on Vladimir Putin. Since you've had face-to-face contact with him, you probably communicated with him. And then with what's happening in the world today.
I shook his hand.
Cool.
See, that's the point. But you see, so what you're talking about is something that a lot of people, because of this narrative assassination of what happened with me, people think that I got some, hey, I've been called every name in the book. Okay. Mm-hmm. Every name in the book. So, it's like, you might, because you sat down with him. I must have some relationship with him.
No. I think that the context here is getting taken away. What I was asking is, what is your thoughts on Russia in the sense that currently
my thoughts on Russia? Now that's a different question. My thoughts on Russia is a nuclear armed nation that's in decline. Okay. And they are in decline and the current leader, Vladimir Putin, clearly understands that. And one of the dangers to Russia is that their southern periphery from Chechnya all the way over to basically Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, and then the Central Asian republics is actually rising, but it's rising with what we call the Islamic nation, right? The rise of Islam in those in that region of the world is staggering. The birth rates in that part of the world, you know, you're talking about anywhere from about probably 4 to 6, maybe 6 to 8 children per woman. Okay. In that part, the Sahara is worse. The Sahara is like 8 to 12 children per woman in the Islamic world. Now, is that good, bad? I don't know. I'm not a, you know, I've had various discussions about the rise of radical Islamists, right? Which, mm-hmm. which we just saw another example of it in Moscow. So Russia is a nation in decline in terms of its demographics and its population, but it still has the largest nuclear arsenal on the planet. Okay. And we cannot take that lightly. Russia has also historically always been aligned with the United States of America going against things like fascists or imperialists or Islamists, right? I mean, we worked very closely together in places like Afghanistan and places like Iraq and places like Syria, and certainly on the plains of Europe fighting against Hitler. We worked in the West with the rise of imperialism under Japan during World War II. I mean, so we've got to understand our history, because you said at the very beginning, I like to go back and look at history to be able to tell the future. So if we had this alignment of ideas about the way the world should be, you know, I mean, I'm one of these guys that says the world is very multipolar. You got to maintain your sovereignty. I particularly love our ideology, which is based on the Constitution and based on the creative talents of individual freedoms, based on individual freedoms, you know, capitalism. You know, Russia is a communist nation. China is communist, but with Chinese characteristics, which is a little bit different. There are aspects of China that has slavery still, right? You know, people can say what they want. All you got to do is go watch the Tucker Carlson interview with Vladimir Putin. You know, the one big surprise for, I think, you know, the left didn't want to have that happen, because what happened was it showed Putin is not some crazy, you know, Mongol type guy that's, you know, I'm going to kill everybody. No, he's not like that, right? He's a very reasonable guy.
As the West portrays him to be.
As the media portrays, not the West, okay? As governments, as people inside of governments and the media portray him. Just like you just asked me about sitting with Putin at some event. So because I sat with him, I'm now a spy. I'm now a traitor.
I wasn't going to that context. But I can understand
I'm just telling you, see, you took it and people extrapolate that. Okay. Mm-hmm. They extrapolate that. Whatever you believe, you know, it's fine. But people extrapolate that. And they know how many times that picture has been shown? I mean, I'll bet you that picture's been shown 50 million times. My name was one of the most Googled names for 2 years in the world. In fact, it was the most Googled name running in 2016 and 2017 in the world. Okay. Because of a lie. All right. And now people see it. Now people understand that. And now we're getting ready to go into the 2024 election. We just had the 2020 election. And speaking for myself, I don't believe it was a fair election. I believe it was filled with fraud. I'm not an election denier. I don't deny that we have elections. That conspiracy train has already left. We already know that we have elections, right? We already know that there's fraud. There's been hundreds of cases of fraud already proven. But what I deny is that our elections have been fixed. Our elections have been, you know, fixed to the point of being better, fair systems. They're not fixed. We're going to walk into 2024. And so that's why I'm passionate right now. Absolutely. About telling your audience, hey, look, folks, you know, I was just the beginning. I was the beginning. They had to get rid of me. They had to get rid of Flynn. Why? Why? Because I'm incorruptible. Okay. They couldn't find an unpaid parking ticket. You don't get to the level that I got to, you know, and if you think I'm an ass kisser, people can go, well, easy, he's an ass kisser, he was this. Hell, bullshit. You know, this is the soldier coming out in me now, Joshua. Did you ever serve in the military?
I did, 10 years, United States Navy.
Thank you. And what'd you do?
I worked on gun missile fire control systems.
Beautiful. So, you know, when you worked around, you know, chiefs or you worked around officers, you could tell right away. You could sniff an ass kisser, right? I mean,
brown nose or no bullshit.
This is me. You know, now you got me on a roll. So, you know, you could tell right away. You could tell right away. Well, let me tell you something. You know what? I will take to my grave is that everybody that I serve with in the military, everybody, you know, I mean, and if there's one out there that said, "Well, man, Flynn really treated me poorly," you know, go find him because it's probably somebody that really had a big problem and there was not much I could do about it. They tied my hands, but I always treated people very well in the military. I've never not been like that. You know, leadership matters to me. Saving and protecting the people that were in the organizations and the units that I was part of, or making them better, maximizing the potential of people in our military. So I get involved in politics, and what happens? They assassinate me. Okay?
As they're trying to do with Trump now and everybody else.
As they're doing with them. And they actually, to a degree, they did assassinate me, but they didn't. They weren't able to crush my soul. They weren't able to crush my spirit. And I was able to recover because I have a strong faith and I have a great family. And I think that's the same with Trump. I think right now I know he's got a strong family and he's got a strong faith, even though they're going to try to, the media will try to portray him as the Antichrist for yeah. Christ's sakes. I mean, so I would never talk like this ever. And I'm on podcasts all the time, you know, and I do a lot of speaking around the country. Sometimes I do charge people. Sometimes I don't. It depends on the audience, because I've been called all kinds of names by assholes out there.
Yeah.
That have, you know, and if you try to post this on YouTube, they'll take you down, you know.
Yeah. No.
Maybe on Rumble you can post it. Or you're going to have to bleep out some of these words, but. I'm just telling you.
My curiosity on that photo specifically had nothing to do with these assholes out there. So, by the way, I'm blocked by all of them on social media, just to give you an idea, right? I look at you as an action-oriented leader. You watch a man's actions. Watch what he's doing. Watch what he's saying. Do those two converge towards the message that he's trying to bring into the world, right? That's why I love Donald Trump, because the man says one thing and then he does it. That's what we need within leadership. And that's what I observed and loved about the military, is that you're going to have these leaders that come up, they're going to say one thing and they're not going to do it. Oh, I'm not following that guy. That's a horrible leader. Then you have these guys that say, "Hey, we're going to change this. We're going to do this. We're going to bring this back." And next thing you know, it's all happening. They're action-oriented leaders, and those are the people that you want to file behind and follow, because they're going to turn you into a great leader to replicate that process, because that's what we really need to save this country. And with you and your character, sir, I think you're amazing. You're an action-oriented leader. I think you've done a lot of good for the last few years of this country. And I look at things in the sense that you have a very, very unique perspective on the global community, on the world. You've been close to Donald Trump. What I was pertaining there, you had been next to Vladimir Putin, right?
One thing as an example, because of my days in special operations, you know, especially on the battlefield, I had access to a lot of people, because you're hitting on something that's really important. And I served in some really, really critical jobs. I mean, you know, even going back to my days as the head of intelligence for 18th Airborne Corps, which was really then stood up to be the first joint task force, first combined joint task force in Afghanistan in the early days. I mean, in the very early days, I mean, you had some special forces groups over there fighting with and against the Taliban in like the right after 2001 and the first part of the winter there in 2002. But then we stood up a JTF, in the late March, early April timeframe of 2002. In my life, I spent almost 5 years of my life over there. You know, I used to joke that I lived in Bagram, Iraq. I'm sorry, I lived in Balad, Iraq, and I vacationed in Bagram, Afghanistan. But So I had, and I met a lot of people, you know, briefed secretaries of defense, members of Congress, members of the Senate, you know, big business, right? I mean, all the people that go, that see all. So I had a lot of experiences. And then, of course, I go from the special operations world to I go into the central command at MacDill, which was responsible for, at that time, 27 countries around the East Africa to the Central Asian republics. And then I go up to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which now I'm responsible for damn near the entirety of the world, directly working for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the Secretary of Defense. I mean, and then I go back to Afghanistan to run that again, run the intelligence operations again. And then I come back to the Director of National Intelligence and then subsequently the Defense Intelligence Agency. And then I get out of, I have like, people are like touting me as one of these, you know, this guy's a great, great guy. He's, you know, he's done all kinds of, changed the war on terror. And he, you know, did some amazing things. And I was always very blunt, always, always. The way I'm talking to you right now, Joshua, is I never held back. I was polite and professional. I probably used one or two more swear words today than I did maybe with some of them, but that was not always the case. If I felt I needed to use a strong word or two with some of these people because they weren't getting it. And I wanted them to feel, you know, the emotion in me. But then I get into politics and I'm a Democrat. Okay. I'm a Democrat at that time. Okay. Not today, but that doesn't matter to me. I'm an American first, right? Mm-hmm. I get into politics and I help Donald Trump become president of the United States of America. And I mean the gates of hell exploded and they were like, we cannot have Mike Flynn around Donald Trump. Okay. We just can't allow it because if he's in there in that role as a national security advisor, oh my God, what he'll be able to discover. And frankly, I already knew a lot. I already knew a lot of the things that I wanted to dig into and I wanted to shut down or expose. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, Now I work with the president to maybe hold certain people or certain institutions accountable, right? They couldn't have that. Couldn't have that. And that's our problem. That's what I talk about in the movie. This is our problem, is that we have this extraterrestrial government that is running our lives in this country. And you know, when you talk about people like Biden or Obama, even those guys, you know, Obama's benefited. I mean, Obama never had a job in his life and he's a multimillionaire. Give me a break. You know, give me a break. He's got houses in Hawaii, houses in Martha's Vineyard. He's got houses in Washington, D.C.
There's book deals.
And they got, I mean, book deals. I have one book that was published by a publisher way before I get involved in the politics, right? So they published my book. Since that time, I've written seven other books and they've all had to be self-published. And another one of them is a bestseller, self-published, because I know what I'm talking about, right? And I work hard to get my message out. And that's what I want people to understand about me, but also, and about this movie. This movie is a message. It's a cause for me. You know, it's a cause for me. It's a cause to try to save this country because we are off the rails. We're not on the rails. We're not on the edge of the cliff. We're down in the dark valley. As I've described to many audiences, we are living Psalm 23, you know, and that's that valley of the shadow of death. And if we don't figure out to get, you know, thou art back in our lives, then we are going to experience a period of darkness, you know, because in the arc of history, and I'll finish with this because I know
you got to get going.
I appreciate your time and I appreciate your benevolence and your patience. But, you know, in the arc of history, meaning the world history, the good guys typically win. The good guys have always triumphed. But, and there's a big but, the time frame that the good guys win and overcome in some of that arc of history, in some of those and some of those empires that rose and fall, some of that arc has taken a long time. And what I pray that we are not in one of those periods where if we are not able to overcome this inertia that we are facing right now, which is a takeover of our system of government by this globalist alliance that is forming. You mentioned the BRICS as an example of that. If we're not able to overcome that, how long will it take us to get back to where good prevails again? You know, is it 100 years? Is it 4 years? Is it is it one election cycle? That I don't know. I can imagine scenarios, Joshua, yep. And I can think through the consequences of those scenarios, but I don't have the answers. All I do know is that I know what I can do, and I know what I am going to do, and I'm going to continue to do that. And you probably have a family, maybe you got kids, you know, and I, like I said, I have grandkids. I fight for them. You served in the Navy. I served in the Army. We didn't serve to fight an enemy that we hated. We served because we loved something. We loved our community, our country, our family. That's why we serve in the military. It's the only reason. Most young kids don't understand that. But if you spend enough time in the military, especially if you go overseas into a combat zone where people are trying to kill you, you learn immediately that you're doing something that has a far greater purpose in life. And it's not because of hate in your heart. It's because of love for something that's greater than you are. And that's how I want to end today's show.
That's why we're all here, General. Much appreciated. Enjoy your time. Thank you so much for the great conversation. I can't wait to have you back on. Everybody out there, go to flynnmovie.com. The links are in the description box below as well. In the chat, you can use that promo code REDPILL to get yourself a copy or to get your tickets. General Flynn, thank you once again.
Yeah, well, and let me add, because I appreciate you doing that and you helping me with this movie. And I think for the audience, that is really super important, the promo code. Hit that promo code and type that promo code in when you sign up or you buy anything, and it helps Joshua's show. It helps him continue to do that. Things that he needs to do, it helps. And you're the type of guy, I can tell, I know, because I know we've spoken different times. You're not the type of guy that's going to be touting yourself and trying to, but people, we need to help each other out. And this is one way to help Joshua out in this great show that you have. So hit that promo code. What is it again?
Red Pill. Very easy red to pill. Remember for everybody out there.
Yeah, Red Pill. So I love that. Okay. I'm going to go take a Red Pill.
Take care, guys. Goodbye.
Peace.
Do not try and bend the spoon. That's impossible. Only try to realize the truth.
What truth?
There is no spoon.